Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on The Ticket, hour number four of the program. Thank you to Robbie the Degenerate for stopping by. Always appreciate his draft room. We'll put that up on the podcast if you guys miss any of the show. Download our podcast, Tobin and Leroy. You guys can subscribe on the radio.com app. Get everything show-related on the radio.com app. You can do radio.com rewind. You want to go all the way back to our to the 6 o'clock hour, start off the show, and you have us for 4 hours the rest of the day. You guys can do that, or we'll have the podcast up for you right after the show. You guys can download it piece by piece. If you miss any of it, you guys do that. Subscribe. Tobin and Leroy podcast available on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Really, if you go and you Google Tobin and Leroy podcast, you will get basically every platform. Some I don't even think we're supposed to be on, quite frankly. Like there's one from Chechnya. I don't think we're supposed to be on that Chechnya podcast. I don't think we're supposed to be there, but we are. So you guys can download us there. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube as well. Look up Tobin and Leroy. We have usually put up a couple segments a day there as well, and usually put everything up on theticketmiami.com. So that's one good central location for you guys to find us. Stay connected. I know everybody's out there. We're out there working at home and whatnot. So I appreciate you guys tuning in during it's a wild time, man. It's a wild time. I know that seems like every day they're pushing the date back even further to how it's going to be like this. So we're hoping we can bring some normalcy to you guys in what I know is an irregular time for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Although yesterday, yeah. I saw Leroy was excited because I Skyped you right after the show yesterday, and you were in that hot tub immediately. No drive, oh, yeah. No nothing. You were there.
Oh, you know what? You know why? I realized that I can get Netflix on my outside TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're sitting there and you're watching Carol Baskin do her thing or Darlene do her thing from the hot tub?
No, well, here's what happened. So I watched like 6 episodes, like this weekend. Like I watched a whole bunch of stuff. And then my wife started watching it. And then Fonz started watching it. They were behind. So I had to wait.
Oh, they want you to catch up? Or they want to catch up to you
guys? I waited for them to catch up.
That's a good thing, man. Listen, I said that I have one of the happiest marriages, and I'm happy about that. But one thing I would divorce my wife over, and we've had our worst fights over, is her propensity to watch television shows that we agree upon as our shows. She just goes off willy-nilly, and it's just like, oh, I thought you didn't like it. And she just gives me the shoulder shrug, like, oh, didn't think you liked the show that much. I'm like, no, yeah. Actually, I thought it was a pretty awesome show. And here she is. She's like, well, I watched all 12. Sorry.
Right. Like, so, yeah, we watched 2 episodes. Like, see, I would hose down to all the season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Today. Right?
Who's crazier? We'll make them both real people, but who's crazier? Darlene from Ozark or Carol Baskin from Tiger King?
Darlene from Ozark, because she blows people's face off.
Whoa. We think maybe one of them, it's possible one of them fed someone to the tigers.
Okay. One time. Darlene always has a gun in her face, and she has messed up more situations. Right? She's messed up more situations, and she keeps putting that stuff in my man's ear, in Jonah's ear.
I'm going to put up a poll question. Who crazier, Carol Baskin or Darlene? See what people think. Because I feel like Carol Baskin's crazy.
Uh-oh.
Carol Baskin, she tries to hit you with that sweetness.
Uh-oh.
What?
Do any of you watch Ozark? Because I'm binge-watching season one, and I'm about on episode 8, and it's straight trash to me. Please tell me I'm missing something, or it gets better.
I would say, sir,
you need to pay attention.
I think the thing there, I think what's going on there is some people they hear the hype, and
they go into it with a preconceived notion that it's got to be great.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't believe. My man talks his way out of everything.
Joe?
Oh, yeah. Marty.
Oh, Marty Bird, yeah. He's like the Hoist Gracie of verbal jiu-jitsu.
It's unbelievable.
He mastered the martial art. I have a poll question out now. @Brendan_Tobin. Who crazier, Darlene from Ozark or Carol from Tiger King?
Yes.
Hey, all you cats and kittens.
And guess what? And we about to throw this FBI agent in it.
Oh, he's nuts.
He's nuts.
Dan,
I don't know. I don't know if it's happened yet. He got to eat it.
I'm not going to say anything. Dan, how many episodes of the Ozark are you? You just started, right?
Yeah, I'm only 4 episodes in, but it's already getting crazy.
Has Darlene showed up yet for you, or do you don't have a good taste of how crazy she quite is yet versus Carol from Tiger King?
I don't know Darlene yet, so no.
Okay, wait till you find out, and then I'll come back to you on this.
Oh.
Somebody's saying, D. Reddy's telling Carol Baskin is a basket case. No one compares. Darlene is nuts, bro. I don't know. Like,
Dude, are you kidding me? I don't think people
are giving this a respect. Like, look, I understand one is fictional, one is a real person, but they are both just straight cartoon characters. When it comes to if you're just going that way, and
I thought Darlene was gonna off the chick at the child services place because she wouldn't give her a baby.
You know what I think is the difference with Darlene? Darlene is so crazy in the fact that I think Darlene likes being evil. You know, like I think Carol genuinely I think thinks that she is a good person and is doing things for the right reasons, even though she's not. And Darlene's like, yeah, I'm evil and twisted. And what? Who cares?
Right.
She's cold. She's cold, man.
Oh, man.
Let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Somebody texts in, Zaslow is the tool who thinks he's cool for being the guy who doesn't like Tiger King. Is he not like Tiger King, or is he not watching?
Nope.
Is Zaza doing that thing where he's not watching it?
He said he watched it. He just thought it sucked.
Yeah. Well, listen. What are you gonna do? He watches. He's still hanging on to WWE.
Right. Like.
And by the way, I'm not one of these people who's like, I bash you if you like wrestling, but let's not act like wrestling's good anymore. It stinks.
But wait, how about this? If you like wrestling, you should definitely like Tiger King.
Oh, 100%. How good at Joe Exotic? Like he is. He's basically Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South.
He doesn't stop.
He won't stop.
That's what got him in all the trouble.
Somebody, I don't want to say Darlene spoilers because I know a lot of people are just getting onto Ozark. So I'm a little bit stricter with Ozark spoilers than I am to Tiger King because I feel, first of all, Tiger King is real. It happened. And Ozark is a fictional show, so I like to be a little bit stricter with the spoiler alerts than I am because I was talking about Tiger King like Monday. I'm like, you guys need to watch this bleep. It is crazy. Because somebody's asking me what my take on season 3 is. here's my take. It's awesome. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I can't wait to watch it, but I don't want to say anything because Leroy's watching it. I know a lot of people are talking about are just getting into Ozark and they need entertainment. So I'm not gonna say anything. But Darlene being a crazy cold-hearted, you know what, is not a spoiler. It's just the fact of the show.
This Darlene character right. has me excited because you know I love the hot messes. Is she attractive?
Oh man, no.
Darlene.
She although looks like
the last episode, she was getting busy.
Darlene definitely look back in her day. She probably was a hot piece of tail. But the thing is Darlene and her husband. They make drugs, so obviously she probably tested the product because she looks run down by life.
Hot mess. I'm excited,
but she gets after it because she. What's her husband's name? Do you remember?
Is it Jonah?
Jonah. Yeah. She got Jonah on a yo-yo, man. Jonah will come a call and whatever it. You know, she's kind of like Carol Baskin, where Carol Baskin literally has her husband on a leash. She got Jonah on a leash, but she's sly. She makes Jonah feel like he's in control and he's got the reins. But really, it's Darlene who's got it.
How about when they said we need some reparations for killing the lieutenant, and they just offed Ash?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good talk. Saw it. See ya. Anyway, let's get to some headlines. Here's what we got. We have a situation with so we have Armando Salguero. He is reporting that the Dolphins maintain interest in trading up for the number one overall pick from the Bengals. Now, he puts in his piece, not likely the Bengals want to trade this pick, but either way, the Dolphins are going to go up there and take a hack to try and get number one. Seemingly to take Joe Burrow. That's what that plan would entail.
Now let me ask you this: what if they traded up to number one and took Tua?
Oh my God!
And then say we got our guy. You'd be pissed.
I'd be pissed because what's that going to take?
I'm right. sitting here. But that's
I legit think
if you said they got all of this equity.
Yep.
To get Tua, and they used it and got Tua, how can you be upset?
The only way that will work is if you're finding out that somebody's trading up to number two, I guess, because they were going to take Tua. But, yeah, I don't think so, man. I think that's too crazy a swerve. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
If you want Tua.
Why would they have to trade up to number one to get Tua? You know that Cincinnati's taking Joe Burrow.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I do want Tua. I told you if they don't draft Tua,
if they have to trade up to two, right? It's not going to be much less. It's not going to be much less.
No. It's going to be. I think I honestly don't think you call up the Bengals without offering. Your picks this year and one first next year. I don't think you make that call.
I give him a second next year.
You won't give up the Texans pick?
Huh?
You won't give up the
I
Texans
give him
pick?
I negotiate. I give you five. I give you a first rounder this year and a first rounder next year.
Cute. Here's the story though. Duke Tobin, you call him up and you try your little dance that you always try. And Duke says, here's the thing. If you don't tell me all your first round picks this year and a Texans pick next year, I hang up. If you do, I'm giving you the number one pick. That's the decision. Same thing it was with Deshaun Watson.
All right.
Yeah, I saw. Here's a funny one. You know, Leroy, I saw people out there. Let me just say, can I get on my soapbox for a second?
Go ahead.
These people are adorable. You got to love Dolphins Twitter. I mean, these
idiots. What's that, a little horn you holding?
It's a quarter inch.
Oh.
You got to love Dolphins Twitter. They're adorable. So they went out there and I saw polls like this weekend. Would you trade the number five pick for Deshaun Watson? And if that poll doesn't come back 100%, no, nay, 200%, you're an idiot. And the fact that you even asked that question is insulting. Would you trade the number five pick for Deshaun Watson? That's why this show gives you the real talk, Leroy, because I'm here about big boy trades, all right? There's no fantasy land where the Texans are trading Deshaun Watson for the number 5 pick. You want to trade Deshaun Watson, you got to trade 4 first round picks. All right, you jokers. Don't be one of these people who's like, oh, I don't know, number 5 pick, that's pretty high. All right, I'm guaranteeing you a great quarterback for number 5 pick. Why do you even do this? Why do you do this to me, Dolphin fans?
Well, here's your problem. You don't negotiate, right? You go, all your cards on the table right away.
Yeah, that's how I play poker.
You can't do that. You're going to get got.
When I go to these poker tournaments, I go all in.
That's because you're trying to drive home.
It's true. I want to get the hell out of there. Although I do have fun. I do have fun. I'm not going to lie. But it's too late. Now, if we could do the shows like this where I'm rolling out of bed, that'd be fine by me.
But here's the problem. You can't go and offer everything you have right away. That's crazy. It's negotiating. So you start reasonable and try to get as close to that as possible. Mm-hmm. You can't just go in and say first round pick, because then they'll say and the second round pick. Then what? Because they're figuring if whatever you offer, you're willing to give up more. So you can't go in and just put all your stuff on the table, think, oh, good deal, we'll take it. No, it doesn't work like that. Negotiating doesn't work like that.
You don't know how Godfather deals work. It's an offer you can't refuse. And be like, this is my – look, they play hardball, you play hardball, all right?
I wish we were negotiating and you came at me like that.
No,
I'm going to fleece you.
No, you're Barry Bonds, I'm Randy Johnson, okay? This is power against power. You're going to say, I'm going to take my big hack, I'm going to throw you that wicked Mr. Snappy, and we'll see who comes out on top.
We'll
see who comes out on top. But maybe we both be happy. 4 first-round picks for you, I get your burro.
Or they ask you to give up more.
Nah, they won't.
Really? You got it all figured out.
Look, at some point, you got to say no.
Here. So here's what I would say. I would say this to you. If I can get the asset for less, can I keep the difference?
What do you mean?
That's how negotiating works. So because you're a terrible negotiator,
I'm not terrible.
I will come in and negotiate on your behalf, but do I get the difference in money?
No.
Why?
Because I don't need you to negotiate on my behalf. This is the way.
Yes, you do, because you're going in there too.
No,
you're going in there too crazy. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Duke Tobin? It's Chris Greer.
What's happening?
Hey, man. Look, I know you guys have heard the rumblings. We want a number one pick. I'm not gonna say who we want, but his name rhymes with his name. Suggests donkey, burro. So we want to make this pick. All right. Here's what we got. You know, we got a treasure trove. So here's what we got. I'm going to give you our draft, our first round this year. All right. That sounds pretty good. I know I've talked to you about this before and you said, come on, man. I got my guy. This is what I want, but I'm also going to tack on next year's Texans pick. Now, before you go any further, this is a one-time offer. All right. So you can have 4 first round picks for the number one pick. A deal that no general manager in the history of football has ever gotten for the number one pick. I don't want to hear any negotiations. I don't want to hear any hemming and hawing. Yes or no, Godfather offer, 4 first-round picks for Joe Burrow. What you got?
Give me a second rounder next year.
In addition to the Texans pick?
Yeah.
See you later.
Okay.
See you later.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, Cincinnati Bengals choose Joe Burrow.
See, congratulations.
That's their guy. So you're going to have to come. All right.
I'm okay with that. Yep. I'm giving you a Godfather offer, and you had the chance to come home with a king's ransom, and instead, I'm going to get Tua Tagovailoa, and then I'll get to fill more needs, and look at you now. You look foolish.
No, I don't.
With your empty picks.
Because we got our guy.
We're going to have 14 guys because we got all these draft picks. You had a chance. Okay. Good job, Duke Tobin.
We're not even on the phone anymore. You're still talking to me.
But my secretary will get this to him.
Never happened.
All right. Yesterday, Jimmy Butler did an Instagram Live with Carmelo Anthony. And also, we got news of the Chicago Bulls documentary. Made me think about something in regards to the Miami Heat, Leroy. We'll get to that coming up. 15 Minutes of Heat is next. Ah, welcome back, everybody. 15 Minutes of Heat. You guys can vote on our poll right now. We have a poll on our Twitter account, @Brennan_Tobin. I'm going to retweet it @7i the ticket so you guys can vote on it there. But our question is easy for today. Who crazier, Darlene from Ozark or Carol Baskin from Tiger King? Right now, Carol Baskin's winning in a runaway, by the way.
Really?
Runaway, Leroy.
Well, how many people haven't seen Ozark?
Well, they're both, they're number one and two, according to Netflix. I like how Netflix does their top 10 now. And if Ozark in any other year or any other time, a series like that debuts, it's easily the number one show on Netflix. But even still, with its premiere new this week, it's still number two to Tiger King. So more people are watching Tiger King.
Right.
So, yeah. But even still, I mean, Darlene from Ozark, she is evil. I mean, just pure evil. So, speaking of series, we got the news yesterday, Leroy, that the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, is going to be coming out, right?
Yep.
And people are very excited about this. People are very excited about The Last Dance and getting to see. And they got the who's who to sit down for this, all right? They got every person that you'd want to hear from in this situation. They got going for The Last Dance. But it made me wonder, Leroy. So we just did the Dwayne Wade documentary, which I thought was really good. You got to look into Dwayne Wade's life. But what is and how long is the Heatles documentary going to be? When the Miami Heat Big Three documentary comes out, that whole era that we're talking about, is that a – I don't think it's a 10-parter. It's not the span of Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, and all that. It's not a 10-parter. But is it a five-parter? Is the Heatles documentary a four-parter, a three-parter? What do you think? Like, how much time should be dedicated to the Miami Heat Big Three era coming together?
Because you got to figure the first episode is going to be leading up to the draft and how they got drafted and where they got drafted. And then you're going to have to do an episode of them playing
with their teams,
you know, away from each other. So D-Wade, Chris Bosh in Canada, LeBron in Cleveland, right? Then the decision, then them playing together, and then the first year, and then the failure, and then the triumph, and then it breaking up.
Right. I agree. You need that episode. And then in the midst of that episode, we probably get to the free agency period. And then the first part ends with them deciding, okay, this is going to go down. And then part two is the decision through that first year, the failures.
No, we're already on. I'm on season three. I mean, episode three.
Episode three?
Yeah.
Wait, so.
Because this is all the stuff you're trying to cover in one episode.
Yeah.
You're covering their life. So you got to talk about, in order to know where somebody's at, you got to know where they've been.
Right.
So their upbringing. You know, where's Chris from? Chris is from Texas.
Yep.
LeBron's from Akron. D-Wade, Chicago. You got to, all right, do all that. Then college or whatever.
Well, do you think The Last Dance is going to have a lot of where Michael Jordan came from? Or do you think it's going to be more just talking about that dynasty?
I think him growing up, because you got to talk about the relationship with his father. You got to talk about his upbringing. You got to talk about him deciding to go to North Carolina. Right? Then you talk about his years at North Carolina, because he wasn't Michael Jordan in North Carolina. He had other guys.
I think all that stuff you're talking about, I think you cover in one episode. You get to the decision at the end of episode one. Then you go into decision through that first year, everybody hating their guts, the return to Cleveland, Ken D. Wade and them coexist. We got to do Bumpgate, obviously, with Eric Spoelstra. We got to talk about LeBron trying to get Eric Spoelstra fired and asking Pat Riley if he ever has the itch. All right, that's got to be in episode one. All the turmoil's got to be in episode one, getting to the point where they're steamrolling through the Eastern Conference playoffs.
You're on. That's like episode four for me.
No, this is episode two.
Episode two.
So then.
No. All episode two is if it's not part of the one, is them getting drafted and them playing. And then episode three would be them getting together.
You got to get to them getting together. If you're doing a Heatles documentary, they got to be together by the start of episode one. By the start of episode two.
You think?
Yeah, you got to get to it. I can't do two background episodes. You know, this is content we're making, baby. Telling you.
No.
Yeah, man.
You don't know how to stretch things out, man.
That's why I'm asking how much is actually worthy of the diet. Remember, what is it? The Last Dance, 10 parts. I mean, the Bulls dynasty, if you're talking from the start of Jordan to the end, that's, what are you talking, 17 years?
For what?
18 years? From Jordan's Bulls career to the end with the stint of baseball between. Right. So this was 4 years. 4 years and five parts is tough. I'm thinking it's probably a four-parter. It's tough. I'm telling you.
It'll be at least five episodes.
Part one.
10 hours?
The first year would be very juicy for this because it's all the bad stuff. The bad stuff. The early goings and the end with the breakup and LeBron going back to Cleveland, and then we get to get the insight of him and Pat Riley sitting down. Ooh, that's good. Let's get them in a room together. Let's see what's what now. LeBron talking about him getting into that room, not paying attention
to Pat
Riley.
To do it like Bill
Riley.
And Bill?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it together. They do a face-off style, like a big fight. It's Riley and it's LeBron at a table facing each other like this, and they're talking about the breakup. Ooh. You want to talk about ratings, Matt? That could be an episode in itself. We'll just call episode four, The Breakup. But like the good times.
Somebody say, I want a mini 30 for 30 about LeBron saving Melo from drowning.
Like a short?
Yeah.
Like when we're starting like Finding Nemo. Before you watch Finding Nemo, they have a short film.
What if I told you the banana boat sunk?
Yeah, I like that idea right there. What if I told
you? And three of them could swim.
I'm telling
and
you, man.
One refused to wear his life vest.
I think we go, okay, so we got through part two is going to be all the turmoil of the first year. Then the episode ends right when the Heat have a lead on the Mavericks, and then it says, and then entered the game, J.J. Barea. And that's
no.
When, yep, and then you see LeBron's eyes light up like he's all in fear.
Wait, this doesn't sound like a documentary. This sounds like an I Hate LeBron show.
No, not at all. I know what you're talking about. J.J. Barea. And so then they're like, oh, what's that cliffhanger? Obviously, LeBron's about to take on some serious beast. And then they start on episode three, and it's LeBron refusing to post up J.J. Barea. And so then they fail. You got Chris Bosh crying into the carpet. And so then we got to move on. They're like, and then you have LeBron and Wade talking about the meeting in the Bahamas where Wade's like, this is your team now. He goes, thanks, D. I appreciate it. He goes, yeah, LBJ, don't worry about it, man. And so then they start tearing through the league. You know, they're going to do awesome stuff. They're killing everybody. Obviously, we're going to talk about the game six. We're going to talk about Chris Bosh's injury, D Wade and LeBron, the struggles Wade went through with his health in the Pacers series. We're going to talk about all that great stuff. Then we're going to get to that showdown with Russ and James Harden and Kevin Durant and the Thunder. Heat win their first title. We're going to get the party scene on what it was like. LeBron's finally a champion. Dwayne Wade's a champion again. Everybody's enjoying life. It's all good. What are they going to do in the next year? Then we're going to talk about stealing Ray Allen. Then you steal Ray Allen. And then all the Celtics are crying, oh, we don't have Ray Allen anymore. He left us. Oh.
You can't do that in five. You can't do that in five episodes, dude.
Sure you can, man. You don't know television. And then, trust me, I know television. And then you're going to get to the part where it's, and then, oh, we stole Ray Allen. It's Bill Simmons. You're dead to me. And then we're going to get to the part where we get Birdman. We get Birdman on a 10-day contract. He's going to be like, Zilla, Zilla, crazy, Birdman, huh, I ain't got a toolbox, I ain't a hit kit, homie. And then, so Birdman's going to do his crazy thing, we're doing the air flop, and then we do the Harlem Shuffle, or the Harlem Shake, my bad, and it's all going great. You know, episode three is about the struggles, the comeback, and all the great stuff, okay? All the great stuff, back-to-back championships, Wade pours the champagne on his knees. We got the Gary Neal steal and slam. Blah! Then we, of course, have the Ray Allen shot. We may need one episode just on the Ray Allen shot. The Ray Allen shot.
And you're going to do all that in three episodes.
We've expanded it to five episodes now. Okay. So we got the Ray Allen shot. Okay. So we get to the part where it's game five. They're down. Game six. Things look bleak. And then we pick up episode four is 28 seconds left in game six. Ray Allen hits the shot. We do the whole first half hour on the Ray Allen shot. All right, they win the championship in game seven. They're celebrating, and they're like, things are great, things are great, things are great. And then they talk about the final year, and then it's like everybody talks about how hard it is to hold a dynasty together. And that's Alonzo Mourning narrating, by the way. And so Alonzo Mourning's in. Yeah.
Really?
Alonzo Mourning's
the
narrating.
Fun guy.
And so, yeah. So we get to the part where it's – so they're all together, but then it's like – but the hardest thing in life is keeping greatness together. And so they go to the year 2014, and they talk about the maintenance program and Dwayne Wade and LeBron starting to rift with one another because LeBron never knows when D-Wade's going to play. Is he going to be playing tonight? Is he not going to be playing? We're going to talk about the aging of Shane Battier, Ray Allen. Are these guys the same? Are these guys going to have the tension together? And then we get to dun-dun-dun, air conditioning game where the Spurs are cheating.
Hey. How about this? Mm-hmm. No way Bron participates in a 30 for 30. He's definitely going to try to control the narrative and have his company do something on HBO. Book it.
That's fine. Whatever. HBO does great sports documentaries, so I'd be fine with that. But it still would be a bunch of parts, right? We could agree. HBO doesn't have the content space to do a lot of parts.
Sure they do.
Okay, so then we get through the air conditioning game, and LeBron's like, ooh, kind of hot in here. I know, I'm plotting my exit to get out of here. So what I'll do is I'll act like I'm cramping up again, like I did in the 2012 finals. And then he's going to be like, oh, sorry, Spo, I can't go. And so the Heat lose that game. And then Chris Bosh, he hits that shot in game two. They're evened up. And LeBron's like, damn, didn't think we were going to walk out of here with a win. Oh, well, guess I'm just going to have to turn down the effort when I get home to game three against the Spurs. And then Marco Bellinelli decides, I'm never going to miss a shot again. And then Danny Green decides, I'm never going to miss a shot again. And then Patty Mills decides, I'm never going to miss a shot again. And the Spurs go and they run roughshod on the Miami Heat in what I believe is the biggest margin of victory ever in the finals. Which, it was painful. But then we start talking about, then the juicy stuff happens, Leroy. All right? We're in part four. Are we in part four or are we in part five now?
What?
Exactly. So then we get to the part where they lose the finals. And then we have Pat Riley talking. He has his exit interviews. And Pat Riley's like, after these exit interviews, you know what he's going to say? I don't have a good feeling about this. And so then we have what's called as the press conference. And then we all remember when Pat Riley walks out there and he goes, you want to trend something? I'm pissed. Go on. Get it on out there. And then he's going to say, you got to stay together if you got the guts and you don't look for the first door and run out of it. And then we're going to get to LeBron and Rich Paul, who could be like, we didn't like that. He questioned our manhood. We were leaving anyway. And so they're like, you know what we're going to do, Rich Paul? What are we going to do, LeBron? We're going to make Pat Riley fly out to Vegas. And we're gonna do a meeting where we don't pay attention to him. And then we're going to get to the part where Dan Gilbert is like, hey, and LeBron, can I please have you back? And they're like, ugh, all right, I guess we'll go back to Dan Gilbert. And so Dan Gilbert, we're going to, you know what we'll do to be extra mean to LeBron, to Pat Riley, is we're going to fly ourselves. We're going to fly Dan Gilbert into Miami, but we're going to make Pat Riley fly across the country. You know what, Leroy? You're right. I need actually an extra part because this is part five. I need to get to part six. Is that okay by you?
I told you weren't going to be able to do it in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Whoops. Anyway, we'll continue on with the documentary coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on The Ticket. So, where were we, Leroy?
I don't know.
Heedle's documentary. The Bulls documentary is coming out. It's a 10-parter. Leroy convinced me. I thought it was only going to be a 4-parter for the Heat, one per year. We're on to part 5. We may be pushing into a part 6, to be honest with you. Because the Team Petty exit is going to be amazing. Woo! Can't wait. I'm excited. Somebody says 67974. Text of the ticket driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Leroy's mind definitely racing during Tobin's big 330 for 30.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Are you keeping up with me?
No, you're all over the place. You're terrible.
I feel like I'm keeping right in line.
This sounds like if Team Petty were to do the documentary.
Well, I mean, we're gonna do the good stuff. We gotta do the good stuff, but as anybody knows, the documentary, the best parts are the juice. What are you gonna get out of? What are you gonna learn? And so we've never really gotten the true story. What can we learn? And so that's what I'm pushing for. Dan Day. You're a New Orleans guy. I don't know how much you were with the Heat as it was all going on down here. Would you want all the juice, or do you want to hear good Heat stuff, or do you want to hear the negative Heat stuff if you were a national audience?
I want it all.
Here.
He wants all of it.
Let me ask you a question. If you didn't hear anything from D-Wade about his breakup, you think you're going to hear anything when the Big Three are talking about it? Here's the only way you do it. The only way you do it is if you definitely do the 30 for 30 after everybody's retired.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We do this down the road.
So that means we're waiting on LeBron.
We're waiting on LeBron. So we got 5 years. Riley's going to be 80. 80-year-old Pat Riley. Been stewing for 15 years on this. Give that to me right now, baby. Woo! That is going to be amazing.
All right.
Because probably at 80... After we have Giannis Antetokounmpo down here, he's probably not going to – he's not going to hold anything back because he's got nothing to do that for. You know, he's already gotten his last orca. Bam and Giannis are going to be hogging up championships this entire time. And Jimmy's going to be there too. And
you
Duncan Robinson. Oh, do I have a plan? It's going to be amazing. So we're going to have Giannis. We're going to have Bam. They're going to be best of friends. Jimmy Butler's going to be here. We're going to have Duncan Robinson's going to be breaking three-point record after three-point record. He'll be better at Steph Curry at this point. And then we'll have six-man Bradley Beal, who will finally get his chance to play with the Miami Heat after a lifelong of regret. Bradley Beal is going to be our Ray Allen, all right, the next era Ray Allen, because it's going to be a life of regret playing with John Wall and the Washington Wizards. And then he's going to be like, please, Miami Heat, please finally sign me. And we're like, all right, Bradley Beal, you can come along. You can be the final. Yep, 100%, 100%. Trust me, it's all in the works, Dan. I got this all planned out in my head. So Bradley Beal's like, oh, please, Miami Heat, please sign me. And we're like, all right, Bradley Beal, you can be off the bench. You can be our Mike Miller for this era. So then,
is he that good of a shooter?
Oh yeah. That's his bread and butter.
He's not better than Duncan.
I mean, nobody's better than Duncan. You might as well ask. Are you a better runner than Usain Bolt? I mean, there's no shame in being number two. Anyway, back to the documentary. So we're at the point where Riley has the press conference. You want to trend something? I'm pissed. And then Rich Paul, LeBron James, they're like, ooh, he thinks he can call me a coward? We're going to make him fly across the country, and we're going to fly Dan Gilbert in here, and we're going to go back to Cleveland. It's like, oh, you showed us. And then Riley's going to show you, oh, okay, you think I can't get it done? You think I can't get it done? Who's the kid you wanted in the draft? And LeBron's just like, let's just say something he will never get, like Shabazz Napier. Yeah, Shabazz Napier is my favorite player. And then LeBron gets done. And LeBron, it's like, damn, he got it done. Well, good thing Shabazz Napier sucks. I didn't want him anyway. And so then.
I see you're interjecting your directorial skills into this.
Oh, yeah. You give me a little beret. I'm directing left and right. And so then Pat Riley's like, hey, LeBron, I got Pau Gasol on time. I got Pau Gasol on time. Here's what we got. And he goes, Rich, Pat Riley has Pau Gasol on signing. What should we do? He goes, well, we're not going back to him because he called us cowards. So tell him nothing. Just go zero dark 30. And then text Pau Gasol and say, I'm not going back. I wouldn't sign with them. So then LeBron reaches out to Pau Gasol. And so then there's going to be the documentary where it's like LeBron and Pat Riley are going to be across from each other, Leroy. And LeBron is going to look at Pat Riley and goes, hey, Pat, respect for getting Pau Gasol with no money, my friend. He goes, yeah, I did get Pau Gasol. He goes, unfortunately, I nuked that deal for you. And then Riley's going to roll up his sleeves, and we're going to have ourselves a Chuck Norris, LeBron fisticuffs because of Pau Gasol. Are you not into this? I feel like you're not into the documentary as much as I was.
What episode are we on?
We're like on 7 right now. This Team Petty app, the Team Petty part of this has been like 3 episodes.
You basically told me this should be 2, and now you're at 7.
There's a lot more to cover than I thought there was. My mistake.
Oh, okay.
Somebody says episode 5, LeBron's hairline evolution.
Oh my goodness. He's got a full head of hair now.
And the band got thicker and thicker and thicker as the years went on. Either way, that's going to be fun. I can't wait for that doc. Like, the D-Wade Last Dance was fun. It was good, but it was mostly D-Wade's life more than basketball, right? Like, that was kind of like it was almost like a Wade confessional.
I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that we were familiar with in D-Wade's life and what he was going through. And a lot of people around the country weren't. And so a lot of times, like, because we lived it firsthand,
yeah,
like the big three might be a lot more entertaining nationally than it will be locally. Because we remember a lot of the stories. And when we talk about it, if they eventually have it, when we talk about it, we're going to talk about all of the other stuff.
You know what I want a chapter of? All the centers that we brought in to try and make work with the big three. So we bring in like Eric Dampier, Eddie Curry, Roni Turioff, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Greg Oden.
Did Z play for like 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the centers the Miami Heat brought in for a position that would eventually be irrelevant to the Miami Heat. All the centers they brought in that thought were going to be the final difference.
I think they did that just to get Chris Bosh to play center.
Like, Chris, please, we beg of you, please. Right. Yes, all right, I'll do it.
I mean, people, he wasn't the most famous piece, but he was probably the most important piece.
Yeah, it's huge.
Because of his versatility.
Versatility on offense and defense, him stretching out the floor, 100%.
Right.
100%. It's like that Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying. Everybody wants to sit here and act like it's a crime to put Chris Bosh in the Hall of Fame, especially on first ballot. But whatever. Another story for another day. Oh, Texter writes in. Do you remember we had Dexter Pittman? Who could forget the infamous Dexter Pittman starting game 3 against the Pacers? Woo! Woo! That was bad. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to cover here, man. A lot of stuff to cover. Oh, Big Cat Jamal McGlure. Although Big Cat was here, he was an incumbent, so I had respect for Big Cat.
I mean, we had the oldest centers to come through here. No young guys.
And then the Heat fans gave...
Oh, no, it wasn't Dexter Pittman. He was young. They drafted him, didn't they?
Yeah, Dexter Pittman was young.
Right.
He stunk, but he stunk.
Oh, yeah, he was horrible. Then you go to Texas. Stunk. He was like big time in Texas.
Yeah, he was terrible with the Miami Heat. Texter writes in, episode 10 will be D-Wade coming out of retirement and 22 Bosh finally cleared and Bron returning to the Heat to win one last title before they win one for good.
One last title in 2 years? Nope.
another one says, damn, this is more episodes than The Walking Dead. Lots to cover.
And remember, let's keep in mind, you wanted to do this in 3 episodes.
I know. Well, I didn't think about the juicy steak part when we got to the part of Riley and LeBron sitting across from each other, like it's a big pay per view fight.
That's it. Sun's
tired, man.
Out.
Sun's out, guns out, man. You ready to hit another day at the jacuzzi?
I got some other stuff I gotta do. I got a letter. I gotta go clean my pavers.
A letter?
Yeah.
You got a letter from
my
the
sidewalk. Here's what sucks, right? You know how they have the trees in between the street and the walkway that goes in front of your house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the trees block all the sun, so certain people get the mold on their sidewalk, you know, the blackness, because they don't get any sun.
Right. I got you. Yeah, so
and
they get
so
a pass.
I'm being penalized. Because I got stupid trees in between blocking the pavers. And I'm scared to put bleach on it One, because my wife would be mad if I use up all the bleach and she can't use the clean because there's no hand sanitizer anywhere. So she cleans with the bleach.
This is interesting. A little bit of news on the front of Habib. Apparently, Russia is now allowing private flights. Somebody may have gotten the McGregor news.
Ooh.
What?
So what happens if so Khabib can travel?
Apparently, this is from some local media in Russia. It says, in order for Khabib to fly to America in a private jet, the companies whose services he intends to use must obtain permission to fly from Russia and arrive to the United States. There are no restrictions for business aviation departure from Russia.
So,
seems maybe the power play of threatening the Conor McGregor fight may have worked.
Well, the problem is what does my man do for UFC now? Because now that there's a way of making that happen, what if he's already got a hold of somebody to make the fight?
I don't know.
So say if he mysteriously got Conor to do it.
Yep.
Now what?
Because
if he doesn't do the Ferguson Khabib fight, there's going to be a serious lawsuit.
Interesting.
Well, if you're Khabib and you can't fight, even though you've been cleared to travel, and you don't have that fight, and you got a contract for the fight, that's a lawsuit.
That's true. I think that they would probably have to have that decision already, because it doesn't say Khabib is flying; it just says he's able to. Doesn't mean he wants to.
Right.
Doesn't mean that he wants to. Right. I love this story. I didn't like the fact that Dana White was having this fight because I think it is ridiculous. But it is, I can't deny the drama of it. It is very juicy. This will also be a 10-part documentary. UFC 249, 30 for 30. All the twists and turns. Dana White trying to put a fight on during a pandemic. What if I told you everybody was dying, but Dana White had to have two guys fight?
Somebody told me earlier, I need some social distancing from the mic. Well, you have to understand, people don't realize that I'm far away from the mic now.
Yep.
Right? Like, it's not even in the picture. But when I'm at the studio, you always tell me to get closer to the mic.
I know. It's a conundrum. I don't know what to tell you, my friend. The damage is done.
Nope. I'm good.
Have a great day, man. Good job. Good luck cleaning your pavers.
Oh, no. I got to tell you. Once I leave here and go take my little nap, chance of that paper getting cleaned are slim and none.
Dan Day, thanks for a great job today, man.
Thanks, Dan.
If you guys missed any of the show, download the podcast. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Zaslow and Jethro coming up next. If they don't draft Tua, I'm a booa.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.